Good morning, everybody. Today, read from Luke chapter 14. We're going to read from verses 1 to 15. But first, would you join me in a word of prayer? Jesus, thank you for this morning. We can gather together as a community to seek your face, to hear your word, Lord. We just ask you would help us to understand that your scripture would bring revelation and relevance into our lives, that it would inspire us and touch us. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so Luke 14. It happened that when he went into the house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to eat bread, they were watching him closely. And there in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. And Jesus answered and spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they kept silent. And he took hold of him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which one of you will have a son or an ox fall into a well and will not immediately pull him out on a Sabbath day?" And they could make no reply to this. And he began speaking a parable to the invited guests when he noticed how they had been picking out the places of honor at the table, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this man.' And then in disgrace you proceed to occupy the last place. But when you are invited, go and recline at the last place, so that when the one who has invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will have honor in the sight of all who are at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And he also went on to say to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you in return, and that will be your repayment. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." When one of those who were reclining at the table with him heard this, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Amen. So at the start of this chapter, Jesus is invited to join in, I guess, to this banquet dinner party. But, however, it seems like he was invited kind of to be set up. So at the very start, it almost seems like, I mean, it's not explicit, but it seems like even this sick man who's suffering from dropsy was actually almost like planted there. Because it says, at the beginning, it says the Pharisees were watching him closely the whole time. What's he going to do? Right? And so there's this sick man who's suffering from dropsy. What is dropsy? Dropsy is an abnormal accumulation of fluids in the tissue of the body. And so the word dropsy comes from the Greek word for water and face, or countenance because the disease often made a person look bloated in their face. So it's quite obvious there is this man, dropsy man, has an affliction. And he knows Jesus, he knows what is on their mind. Is he going to heal him? Because it's Sabbath. And according to Sabbath, in Jewish tradition, they are not to do any work whatsoever. And they've come up with many rules of how not to do that work. And so Jesus right away knows exactly what they're doing. And then he challenges their notion. And how he challenges them is, well, obviously, they're not happy. They feel like he's breaking the rules by healing this man. But then he uses the question, he challenges them by saying, well, what if this was someone or something important, right? What if it was your own child? If they were hurt, then what? What if it was your own oxen? It fell. Would you actually bring him out for fresh air? I don't know. And of course, the answer is yes. At that point, for most of us, if someone we loved or something was important to us and we cared for it, our response would not be a response of work. It would be a response of love, right? And so what's missing from all this, as he challenges them on, I guess, the notion of Sabbath, Sabbath isn't just about not working, right? Sabbath, the spirit of Sabbath, yes, it involves not working, but the spirit of Sabbath is for us to rest, right? And I think what's happened oftentimes is there's so many rules and regulations of what you are and aren't supposed to do. I imagine Sabbath sometimes can also be very stressful. So as a result, Jesus is just challenging us. I think for most of us, in my observation, most of us don't struggle this problem of maybe, where we're so concerned of if we're working or not. Maybe we treat Sabbath, if anything, a little too flippant, right? And I've been challenged with this as well, even with my children. Example was, my children, they go on sleepovers, and oftentimes they sleepovers with their friends who are not Christian. And so the sleepover is from Saturday to Sunday. And so it's like, oh, should they just skip church and have fun? Or do we actually really kind of communicate the importance of Sabbath, right? Of one, rest, but also this is God's day, right? 6 days we focus on ourselves, we work, we do whatever we want, and on the seventh day we want to devote it to Jesus. And so I've had to have that conversation with my kids. It's like, okay, you're going to sleep over, but we got to pick you up in the morning and then we're going to take you to church, right? And then ask us, do you know why it's so important to we do that? And now they get it, right? They know because we've had multiple sleepovers and they've done this. But it would be also so easy just to be, oh, easy for them because they just get to stay and play. Easy for me because then don't have to go and pick them up early just to bring them to church, right? But the point is Sabbath, right? To honor it, to receive rest from it. And then next, you know, Jesus is at this banquet and he notices everyone is jockeying for position at the banquet. And so he goes on to tell this parable of a wedding feast. A little kind of similar, but not specifically like this either, as in our context of wedding feasts, where the seating arrangement does, in some ways, not always, but oftentimes, The seating arrangement does communicate some sort of value, right? And usually the people who you're closest to, I imagine like your parents, your closest friends and family, you would probably seat them closest to you. And then as the relationship and connection, as it's not so close, then they might sit in the corners or the back, right? That's kind of standard procedure, I think. And how I guess it's different from what's described is, in this situation they're describing is, people are choosing their own seats. And so people are showing up, and even in this, I guess, banquet that they're having, this dinner party, people are trying to put themselves in the position of the best seats because that will kind of equate their standing. And Jesus kind of says, don't do that, right? Don't do that, because he's just very practical. He's like, don't do that, because if you put yourself in an elevated seating position and it doesn't work out, which is whoever's the host tells you to come down from or sit somewhere else, that's going to be really embarrassing, right? And so he said, instead, what's better is just sit in, I guess, the worst seat. Sit in the corner, and if you're deserving of a better seat, the host will bring you there, and that's the ideal situation. Of course, this is a parable, right? So what is he saying about the kingdom of God? What is he saying? Well, he's just talking about the kingdom of God and how we are to be in life, right? So in this case, he's saying, don't be proud, right? Don't be arrogant. Don't try to position yourself so you can be seen and seen as someone really important. Because if you do that and someone puts you in your place, that's going to be really embarrassing. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, or you've seen it happen, where someone puffs themselves up and then circumstances or someone of authority puts them back down, and it's like, oh, such a cringe moment. I could think of one time that happened to me where I was acting, it's not exactly the same, but where I was definitely acting a little, puffing myself up, a little arrogant. It's just so silly. It's just, this was when I was a teenager. I was in the elevator. Someone was running to the elevator, and they're like, wait. And I pressed the close button. I think I was with my mom. I was like, close, 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 close. And it closed. And once it closed, I went, yes, in your face, like towards the closed door. And then the door opened. And then the person walked in. Oh my gosh, it was so embarrassing. My mom was so embarrassed. Was definitely put in my place. It's kind of a silly example, but the point is, be humble, right? You don't need to puff yourself up. And in this case, Jesus is saying, I will exalt you, right? You stay humble, and I will elevate you. And when God elevates you, I mean, then you don't have to worry, right? Because it wasn't by your own strength anyway. It was God. In verse 11, he says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. In Psalm 75, verse 6 to 7, it says, no one from the east or the west or from the desert can exalt themselves. It is God who judges. He brings one down, he exalts another. So hopefully, with that, you know, you don't feel the pressure to compare. You don't feel the pressure to perform, right? End of the day, it's God who will judge you. It's God who would exalt you. And so you just, for us, we just play our parts just to be humble and faithful. And then verse 12, he gives some more insight into, I guess, this banquet. And he says, when you have a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you in return, and that you will be, and that will be your repayment. And I read a commentary where it said the translation is not don't invite, but don't always invite, right? So I don't want you to feel like, oh, shoot, I just had a dinner party with my friends. I just had dinner with my friends. Oh, I just went against what Jesus said. No, he's not saying that. He says don't always do it. As in, that's not the point of your life, right? In fact, I just want to say it's good to have dinner parties, to host them, right? It's a lot of work. And it's also part, it's just sometimes you need to reciprocate in relationships, right? If someone does something, you should reciprocate. And next time, you should host, right? This is just relationship. But then Jesus challenges the people at the party, the host, and he says, what you should be doing is invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, since they don't have the means to repay you. And so he's speaking to more than just, you know, sometimes we can fill our time with dinner parties and social things because it's enjoyable, but that is not our purpose. That is not the point of our life, right? We're called to serve. And he says, it is blessed since they cannot repay you. There is something special about being able to bless somebody and you're not expecting anything back. It's liberating. It's freeing. In fact, with your friends and your dinner party, there's almost an expectation that they'll reciprocate. And if they don't, you might get a little upset or bitter. But if you were to bless and serve those who cannot, because you're not expecting anything back. It's freeing. It's liberating. And something I was reflecting on was, you know, because I've heard some people say this, it's like, oh, the idea of dying is almost an upgrade, because it's like, now I get to go to heaven and spend and be with Jesus. That's true. So then it's like, so why would I want to still be here on earth? Well, our limited time on earth is the only opportunity that we have where we can actually serve God. Right? Let that sink in. This is our only opportunity, this short time, to really serve God. Once we're with Him in heaven, in eternity, we're not really serving Him. We can't devote our lives and sacrifice for Him. However, while you're on earth, you have that privilege and opportunity to do so. And why we have different motivations for doing it. And I think one of the main reasons we would do this to serve and bless others is because of what we've received, because of what Jesus did on the cross, for loving us, for accepting us, then we can respond because He's modeled it and we've received it. But there's actually an additional reason. The additional reason why would we do it, and maybe this hasn't, maybe I don't know how motivating this is for you. It says, you will be blessed since they do not have the means to repay you. Why? It's like, why are you blessed? Jesus says, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Resurrection of the righteous. That's the second coming when our resurrected bodies will come alive. And at that point, there will be a judgment. And we will be judged for our works. And it says here, all the things that you do where you don't get credit for, where you're just, where no one even knows but God, right? All those little things that you've done, you will be repaid. You will be acknowledged. So we'll do worship. Sterling. And some things, just that I know there's a lot there, but our takeaway is one is humility. To be humble. To not be proud. To not worry about our standing, our spiritual standing, or our social standing. Because God will put us where we deserve to be. God will be the one to exalt us if we humble ourselves. And secondly, it's just a reminder of why we're here. We're here to serve. It's better to give than it is to receive. Acts 10:35, it says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." So let's just go before the Lord. Let's humble ourselves before him. Let's just commit to sowing, to serving, and just blessing those who are in need, even those who cannot reciprocate. Thank you. Okay, let's turn to our screens. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for those who have cancer. Let's pray for God's healing, His encouragement, His restoration. Let's pray for those who are suffering from illness, but also in need of a word of salvation. Let's pray for opportunities for healing, for God to speak. Pray for those suffering from infirmities. Let's also pray for those who are seeking for a new job. Turn to our mission focus. Let's pray for Singapore, Indonesia, and Philippines. Cover our prayer and healing ministries, IP, The Well, and River. Let's pray for God to move, for miracles. Let's also pray for local outreach. Let's pray for Agape, Homi, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's also pray for SP 2.0. We're just being faithful to a prophetic word that we received from, I think, Cindy Jacobs, of a benefactor for our new SP home. So let's just pray for the building and resources, the benefactor, and also the Vision Fund. Let's lift up the pregnancies at SP. Let's pray for the moms, Jessica, Catherine, Clara, Kathleen, and any other moms you might be aware of. Let's pray for their nausea. Let's pray for the protection of the baby. Also, let's lift up the house churches meeting tonight. Let's pray for City House Church, First Street, McRobinson, Olympic, Robin Hood, Ventress, Westville. Just be a time of connection and sharing, and a time where there'd be opportunities to step out in faith and encounter God. Yes, Jesus, just give thanks for today, your word, Lord. We just humble ourselves and just recognize our standing, Lord. Yes, you have given us incredible value that you have given us as your child of God, but in our own strength, in our own flesh, Lord, we are but sinners. And we can't do it without you, Lord. We don't want to do it without you. We want to do it with you, Lord. So that, just as your scripture says, that you would be the one who would be exalted in our lives, through our lives, Lord. And just guide us and walk with us this day, Lord. Speak to us and instruct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.